Now, Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
This was about a game where you know who the damn quarterbacks are.
Mark with a C.
Mark James knows how to fill time.
Mark with a C.
Oh, look. No. No. I get this every week. If you need a timeout, come on down and call it. I mean, come on, fellas.
Mark, you sit in your chair and shut up.
Mark James with an M. He's correct.
You're not on it. You're on it at all.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
617-779-7937. Good to have you with us on this very sort of miserable weather day here in New England. That's the number to get in, taking your phone calls, talking about the Patriots, their best chances of getting back to the Super Bowl for what? The fourth time in 5 years, which would be absolutely remarkable. They do it for the third straight year in a row to get back to the Super Bowl. Now, bear in mind, the last team who lost the Super Bowl and made it back to the big game the following year was the 1993 Buffalo Bills. It's been 25 years since that has happened. Do I think this Patriots team can do it? Of course. Do I think they're going to do it? No. Confidence level, 6. I don't like it. There's something about this team when you're so good at home and then you're a losing record on the road. I just don't like it. And they might never have to leave the friendly confines of Foxborough. And they better not, because I don't trust this team going to Arrowhead. I just don't. So the Patriots are undefeated against the playoff field this year. Houston Texans, victim. Chicago Bears, victim. Who else we got? Indianapolis Colts, victim. Patriots were phenomenal against all playoff teams this year, whether it was AFC, NFC. They did the job. Undefeated against the entire playoff field. Yet, they lost to the Jags, the Lions, the Titans, and Pittsburgh. Oh, and Miami. So, let's go ahead. Aside from Ben Roethlisberger, who's a future Hall of Famer, they lost to Blake Bortles, whose team already gave up on him before the end of the year. Matthew Stafford, who's nothing more than a overpaid, overrated Jay Cutler. Marcus Mariota, who I still don't know if he's a boom or a bust. Oh, and this other guy who is a bust, Ryan Tannehill. So that's why I don't trust this team right there. They play to the level of the competition. Now, that could bode well in the postseason. But my confidence level against other teams, not very high. And the team that I want to come in here next Sunday, a week from tomorrow, 1 o'clock at this very time, the Baltimore Ravens. That's the team I want in here. And I know most people, no, you want Baltimore. They kind of backdoored into the postseason. I don't think they're as good as Pittsburgh, at least their talent isn't. And they have a rookie quarterback who Belichick will make him look like a true freshman at Louisville all over again, Lamar Jackson. I don't want to face Deshaun Watson, and I sure as hell don't want to face Phillip Rivers. Not with those wide receivers. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Stephen A. Smith, if Hunter Henry or Lance Allworth will be active for the game. They do have Antonio Gates. I don't want to face that team. Chargers are dangerous, man. Plus, they can rush the quarterback. Same thing with the Texans. They're both almost mirror images of each other. Your thoughts? What's the team you want to face? What's your confidence level? 617-779-7937. Mark in Brookline. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I give him like a 7.5.
Basically. All right. By the way, you're the first realistic caller that we've had all day today. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I didn't think it might be a little high, but what I'm resting my hopes on here is their defense. If you think about it, I think it's been a little undercovered. I realize they kind of, they had a couple sort of bye-like games at the end with the Jets and the Bills and all that. But in the last 6 games, they've let in less than 15 points average in the last 6 games. If you look at Baltimore, by the way, they've let in 18 points in the last 6 games. So I'd love to see Baltimore, because I'm not impressed by their offense. And I think that the Pats defense can hold muster with them.
Yeah, Mark, here's the thing about Lamar Jackson. Yes, the Patriots have trouble with mobile quarterbacks. But let me tell you something right now.
Yeah.
The only game I ever remember in the prime of his career, Michael Vick winning, that was like, holy bleep.
Yeah,
was okay. was a night game at Lambeau Field against Brett Favre and the Packers in 2002, I want to say. Other than that, I mean, yes, Lamar Jackson's elusive. He's athletic, but he's a gimmick. But,
yeah,
listen, give Belichick and Flores, give them almost 2 weeks, because you know this week,
100%.
They put in, they've got an assignment for Baltimore, Chargers, and Houston. There's an assignment for each one of them. And I tell you, I take my chances with Lamar Jackson.
I'm yes. with you.
Yeah.
100%. So I think the defense is sort of the key, a little bit of a sleeper here. Second point, quickly on your talk about, and I'm with you actually on all these points. The Belichick not getting in, you know, star receivers and so forth, and giving them to Brady, other than like the Moss era, which is forever ago. That appears to be true, and it sort of baffles me. Is it not, or am I incorrect here? It seems like he has a penchant for staying away from people that are high visibility, you know, diva-like and so forth, as a philosophical approach to staffing. Seems like the only answer. I mean, there's a few exceptions on the team, but not many, right? They don't have many Hall of Famers outside of Brady, let's say. So,
Gronk will be a Hall of Famer.
Well, let's say Gronk. Yeah, I believe that. But even that, I mean, he goes for the more humble type, and it seems like, you know, the majority of people that are really, really good, the ones that you see, you know, the Watsons
So, Mark, let me ask you this. Yeah. I'm going to ask you this. And there's a couple humble guys the Patriots would have loved to see them get that have been humble since they come into the NFL and are still sure. great. Julio Jones and A.J. Green. Okay.
Fair enough.
So let me ask you this, Mark. Not that the Steelers would do business with the Patriots, but what would you trade? Like, what the Patriots gave up, like a fourth rounder for Randy Moss, would you give up a third or fourth rounder for Antonio Brown right now? I sure as hell would.
I would.
Oh, my God.
I certainly would, but my question is on Belichick. He's such a peculiar coach anyway. Obviously, huge amount of success, but this is a trend now. In other words, he really does not generally bring in high visibility.
Divas. I know. It's not what he does, Mark. Appreciate the phone call. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? It's moving. It's moving. Just me thinking about the Patriots getting Antonio Brown. Wow. And he would be on his best behavior. He would be. Because he would understand that you're coming to a place that wins Super Bowls. Antonio Brown never won a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. Never. He never did. The last time that that the Steelers won a Super Bowl, Antonio Brown was still in college at Eastern Michigan or Central Michigan, whatever the hell he went. So he would come here on his best behavior. Oh, I would give up a fourth rounder in a heartbeat. You give up a fifth rounder for Josh Gordon, who let you down 2 weeks before the playoffs begin. You wouldn't give a third rounder for Antonio Brown, who's never had any issues with off-the-field substances whatsoever? Sean in New Hampshire, 617-779-7937. Oh, the thought of Antonio Brown in a Patriots uniform, it's like, oh, my Lord. It's like Adriana Lima in thigh-high stockings. Are you kidding me? Wow. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I think you're too tough on Belichick's talent evaluation. He hasn't hit on his wide receivers, but you know we're always picking at the end of the draft, and we have talent enough that we're there every year. So he doesn't hit on everything, but he hits on a lot.
But he does. But Sean, why is it that since Deion Branch, you know, he can't draft a legitimate wide receiver for Tom Brady? I just find that, like, here's the guy who's, you know, arguably the greatest coach in NFL history, and, you know, Chad Jackson, Malcolm Mitchell, Aaron Dobson, Taylor Price, and he just can't get it. It's just, it's befuddling to me. Absolutely befuddling.
I agree. It's mind-boggling on that, but I think you can't forget that he's always, you know, you look at Julio Jones and DeAndre Hopkins, those guys are getting picked at like 6, 7, 8. We never pick at 6, 7, 8. We're always picking at 31, 32. And that is, he doesn't do well with it. I'm not going to lie. He doesn't do well with it.
Well, by the way, can I tell you this too? When former Patriots, a guy who was in their personnel department, Thomas Dimitroff, called Belichick and asked Belichick, should he trade up for Julio Jones, what do you think Belichick told him?
No.
He told him no. I would say it's worked out for Thomas Dimitroff, don't you think?
I would totally agree with you.
Right.
And I do. I think it's a weakness of his, but boy, he doesn't have many weaknesses, and he still has put the talent together that, you know, we're there every year, and we're going to be there. We still have the offensive line is in shape. The defensive line is in shape, and we're going to be there, and it's because of Belichick, not in spite of Belichick's talent evaluation.
Well, he just made so many bad moves, Sean. That's the thing. And defensively, the last good first-round pick that Bill Belichick drafted, first-rounder, Jamie Collins was a second-rounder, was Chandler Jones, and that was going on 7 years ago. That's the last boom for a first-round pick the Patriots selected. Malcolm Brown? He's a bust. He's a bust. Phony Michelle? I mean, he's not a bust yet, but you didn't need to take a running back there. The guy that Baltimore took one pick after Phony Michelle is 6-1 as starting quarterback. Lamar Jackson. So Baltimore, like, could you imagine? Baltimore took their next quarterback right after the Patriots took Phony Michelle. Talent evaluation, folks. Baltimore gets it. Pittsburgh gets it. Kansas City gets it. When it comes to offensive elite weapons, the Patriots fall short every time. And that will be their undoing if they don't make it back to their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. That's going to be it. 617-779-7937. Blair is up next. What's up, Blair?
What's going on, my man?
Hey, Blair.
You thinking that the Patriots can win a Super Bowl, I hope. I surely hope we can win 3 straight games in the playoffs and then go to the Super Bowl and get it done because...
They only need to win 2 straight games to get to the Super Bowl. They got to win in the divisional playoff and the AFC title game, then they're in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so it's only 2.
Right.
So then after the 2, it goes to the Super Bowl?
Yes, Blair.
Okay, sorry, I must have it wrong.
Yeah, no, because they got to buy. The Patriots got to buy, so yes, that's how it works.
So it's only 2 after you get the buy. If you don't have the buy, then it's 3.
Yeah, you got it. Yep.
Okay, cool. How do you see the Patriots doing in the playoffs?
I mean, it just depends who they play. Thanks for the phone call. It depends who they play. It's all the draw. I personally, if they play the Ravens at home, I like their chances of getting to the AFC title game. If they play Houston or the Chargers, yes, they could win, but I don't feel so good about it. I just don't. Do you know that 6 of the playoff quarterbacks are 25 years or younger? 6 of them. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. So you got a lot of young guys that are, you know, in the playoffs for the first or second time that... It's turning. You know, you don't have, you know, you got Brady, you have Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, but, you know, Dak Prescott's young, 25 or younger. It's becoming a young man's game. David in a truck, you're up next. What's up, David?
What's going on?
Hey.
No, you were just going on and on, which I know, you know, you hear things on anything. But the cap hit is huge for Brown. So
It is huge. I know. That's what it is, man. You're going, when you get an elite level wide receiver who's getting paid elite money, the cap hits all. That's just the price of doing business, David.
Yeah, no, I definitely would want to take him. That's not. I mean, I'm not one of those. You know, first of all, it's not my money. Second, I know we always have to think like, would you spend the money? Would you keep it? Well, we always have to think, would they spend it? I mean, to fork that money, of course, you know, we'd love to do it at the end of, you know, the next couple of years. Even if we got him and they took him and then grabbed a young, you know, the next quarterback and if they signed him, because he's obviously good for 5 more years.
Who's good for 5 more years?
Brown. That's what I'm, I mean, if you sign him.
Antonio Brown. Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be a one-hit wonder where it's just for Brady, you know, it's not like, you know, fill the locker room just for Brady. It's like, if you're going to get him, you might as well sign him, and then he's, you know, one of the corner pieces for the next generation, or however it comes out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, Antonio Brown, I mean, he's expensive. He would be nothing more than a high price rental from where I'm looking at it. Thanks for the phone call. I think it'd be worth it. Because here's the thing. The Patriots are going to have to make a move like that. Remember when Jerry Jones and the Cowboys traded a first-rounder for Amari Cooper and people thought that Dallas was so stupid And the guy ended up having 6 or 7 touchdown catches since he was acquired by the Cowboys. They're going to have to make a move like that. And I don't want to give up a first round. There's no way I would do that. I think Jerry Jones, he got away with that by just pure luck and happenstance. There's absolutely no way I would give up a first rounder for a wide receiver. 617-779-7937. Matt Main, you're up next. What's up, Matt?
What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
I heard a few people call the one guy like, oh, Julio Jones, they're getting those guys at 6, 7, 8. A couple of guys mentioned they're always picking at the Patriots are always picking at the end of the round. They've had a few trades. I remember the Richard Seymour trade, through a couple of trades. They've had top 10, top 15 picks. They always end up trading out anyway.
Yeah.
And not only that, over the years, they've stockpiled enough picks that at some point they should be able to go out and make a move to go up to get these skilled players, and they're not doing that either.
Right.
I love Bill Belichick. There's no coach I'd rather have.
Well, and by the way, they turned Brandon Cooks back into a first-round pick with the Rams.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and that was to get rid of. Well, that was the
first-round pick
in the year we didn't have one.
Right. Yeah.
But I agree. And I think that, and like you're just saying, at sometimes you've got to take a chance. And it's also a little bit to what the guy right before me, I think, was talking about with the they don't want to draft guys, not just Dean Buzzer, that sort of thing. They don't want to draft guys that are going to be so good that they're going to price the Patriots out, because the Patriots are never going to have the top paid guy or one of the top 2 paid guys at any position, especially a skill position. If they do, it's going to be.
But Matt, can't you just? That's fine. But can't you enjoy these guys for the duration of their 4 years under their rookie deal? Then.
Not only do I agree with that, I want them to
right.
have one or two of the highest paid guys.
Right.
You've got the best quarterback in NFL history. You give him some toys. Let him play. And I mean, Matt,
let's go back to that 06 AFC Championship game against Indianapolis when the Patriots were up in the second quarter 21-3. It was 21-6 at halftime. In the second half, Doug Gabriel, Rashay Caldwell, Chad Jackson, these guys couldn't catch a freaking cold. And so after the game, Belichick, Randy Moss, Dante Stallworth, Wes Welker, boom. And that's what he needs to do.
Yeah, what happened? What followed that up?
Yeah, 18-0, and unfortunately 18. But yeah, the greatest team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, really. Hey, listen, you play that Super Bowl 100 times over.
No doubt.
99 of those games.
No doubt. No, that to me, it's like that to me. I'm not saying that because I'm here in New England. Call me a homer, whatever, Matt. The best team did not win. You know it, and I know it.
I 100%, man. I love football, and that's how I can. No one's more critical of the Patriots. I'm not a homer. No one's more critical of the Patriots when they're not doing it right than I am. But that's, like I said, 99 out of 100 times.
No doubt. I would have traded that Super Bowl 42. I would have traded that to cap off the perfect 19-0 season for one of the ones against the Seahawks or the Falcons. I would have given up the one to the Seahawks. Not the Falcons one, because they were down 28-3 with 2:12 left in the third quarter. It's the greatest comeback in NFL history. So I would say, let's go ahead and Daryl Bevel and Pete Carroll gave the ball to Marshawn Lynch and the Patriots lost that one. I could hang my head on losing that one. But I tell you what, boy, did I want that 07 one. Oh, they say Brady to this day. That's the one that got away. And I don't blame him. You know? I mean, thankfully for Tom Brady, like, you know, he was able to upgrade from Bridget Moynihan to Giselle. So, you know, the best one didn't get away in that respect. But, wow. Oh, I would trade the Seattle one in a heartbeat. I would trade it. You can have Seattle, but we want Super Bowl 42 back against the Giants. And I just don't want that gap-tooth jackass Michael Strahan. He's one of those careers that I don't get. Why is Michael Strahan such an entity? He's on, you know, Good Morning America now. He was on Kelly and Michael. He's on the NFL pregame on Fox. He's not even that good of an NFL analyst. He's not. But for some reason, the broadcasting gods just said, Michael Strahan, we're going to make you, you're going to have a better post-NFL career than you did an NFL career. And he's done it. Oh, I wish he didn't have a Super Bowl ring. That one bothers me. It just bothers me. And David Tyree, what does he do now? Was he wash cars in New Jersey? It's like, give me a break. If we went by the grasp rule, Jarvis Green, Vince Wilfork, and Richard Seymour had Eli down on that throw. That was another thing, too. Oh, just so many lucky, just BS things happened for the Giants. The Patriots, to me, the 07 Patriots team is better than any team that won it. Better than 01, 03, 04, 2014, 2016. Better than any team that won it. I'm sorry. Greatest team in NFL history. Great, better than the 85 Bears, and I thought they were the greatest team in NFL history, and they did win it all. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Steve in New Hampshire. What's up, Steve?
Hi, man. I'm having a tough time with almost every single comment that comes out of your mouth. So Thomas Dimitroff, that move to go get Julio Jones, has that returned them a Super Bowl?
They were up 28-3. It certainly didn't hurt.
Hey, I know, right? But they lost.
No, you know what hurt them. You know what hurt them not winning a Super Bowl was dumbass Kyle Shanahan throwing the ball instead of running it to Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman.
Right. But it did not bear fruit, my friend.
Okay.
And guess what, Belichick? We had two Super Bowls that happened to us too. You know, just like you referenced in 07 and 2011. Some getting back to the game. That's what it's about. Sometimes it's going to fall your ways. Sometimes it's going to fall the other guy's ways. Anything can happen on any given Sunday. But to say that this team, and you said to yourself, four Super Bowls in the last 5 years. We're going for eight AFC championship games.
No, I know, Steve. Steve, my thing is like, what's your confidence level of this team going into next weekend?
So the thing is, and this is, so you got to just, let me finish this.
Okay, go ahead.
My confidence level going into next weekend is a 10 because it's always a 10. Because I'm always going to believe in this team until they go out there. And, yeah, I can gripe about afterwards about certain games. I'm still not okay with the Butler decision. I'm still, hurting. I still lose sleep over the Tyree catch and the craziness of that. But I can justify certain moves, and I can't justify certain moves that Belichick makes. But I do that after the game. I go in every single one thinking 100% because I have Brady. I have Belichick, man. Let's live this. It's not going to happen forever. We don't get this where we get to say, oh, 4 and 5 Super Bowls. It's going to end, and it's going to end soon. So we should enjoy every game and look forward to it is going to be 100%. I think that we surprised some people this year. The AFC is weak. They are weak. The whole NFL is pretty much weak. There's a bunch of these upstart teams. I want to stay with the talent level. We don't need to go chase those first round, those early talents. Get somebody later in the draft. Who should have drafted is someone like Quentin Nelson, someone like Darius Leonard. Darius Leonard is who we should have picked instead of Isaiah Wynn or Sony Michel. He's an all-pro at the 36th pick linebacker. Those are the guys that we need, man. And those are the guys Belichick goes after. And yeah, he has missed. He needs a draft in 2018, 100%. But don't give up on Isaiah Wynn. Don't give up on Sony Michel. Those guys could be good. We've got, Bally's coming back next year. This team is going to compete for a Super Bowl. And this year, and I'm telling you, they're gonna play the Bears in the Super Bowl this year, I think.
We'll see. Confidence level of 10. When you say your confidence level at 10, you have trouble putting the Patriot pom poms down. No. The confidence level last year was an 11. The year before, 11. This year, you are completely misguided if your confidence level's at a 10. It can't be. There's no way. They have a losing record on the road. A losing record. They've shown too many flaws, too many weaknesses for your confidence level of this team going into next weekend to be a 10. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not saying I would bet on it, but I'd have to see the point spread if Houston comes in here next weekend. Because if Houston comes in here next weekend and gets 7 points, I'm taking the points. I'm not saying they're going to win on the money line on the field, but I'm taking Houston today -1.5 over Indianapolis, and I'm taking the Chargers on the field tomorrow on the money line. Yeah, you can take the points if you want. You won't need them. The Chargers will go to Baltimore tomorrow, and they will beat the Ravens. You watch. And because they lost to Baltimore a couple weeks ago at home, they will make the necessary adjustments, and they will make Lamar Jackson uncomfortable, and they will make him look like a deer in the headlights rookie. Mark my words. It's Mark with a C. 617-779-7937. But I cannot reiterate enough. If this Patriots team does not get to the Super Bowl for the third straight year and the fourth time in 5 years, it's going to be due to Bill Belichick. He's the one who didn't give the GOAT enough weapons around him. Didn't. The Patriots had two first-round draft picks last year. Two of them. One was 23rd, and the other was 31. You're telling me you couldn't have traded two of those picks and gotten a little higher? I mean, you couldn't have moved up a little bit in the draft, got someone? Even if it wasn't a weapon, maybe Denver. I mean, Denver already has Von Miller. Maybe they wanted to draft lower, and you could have got a guy like Bradley Chubb, a stud defensive end. They didn't do it. It ultimately comes back to hurt you. You can only miss on so many draft picks. That's ultimately that will be their undoing in these postseason, in these playoffs. 617-779-7937.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Having seen the Texans so many times in recent years, is there a little more emphasis on scouting Baltimore and the Chargers this week?
Yeah, well, again, once we find out who we play, we'll turn all our attention to that team. So, in the meantime, we'll prepare to be ready for whoever it is, and most importantly, try to work on things that'll benefit the New England Patriots, no matter who we play.
That's Bill Belichick. I'm Mark James, and this is WEI. 617-779-7937 is the number to get in. We're talking about how do you feel about the Patriots going into the postseason. I'll say this. As a one or a two seed, the Patriots are money. They're pretty much money. They love to be in that spot as a one or a two seed. And that's the good thing. I mean, because it's so imperative on having that home field advantage for one game, at the very least. And in the Brady era, the Patriots have only made the Super Bowl as a one or two seed. They've won 3 out of 6 Super Bowls as the one seed, and they won both Super Bowls as the two seed. And they are the number two seed this season. So they like it. They like it. I mean, they're good. They're in a spot where they feel as though they need to be. I just don't feel so comfortable of this team. There's something amiss about this team. My confidence level a year ago, 10. Year before, 11. Now, 6. It's dropped off that much. And I know they're undefeated at home, and I know they're undefeated against the entire playoff field. They are great against the playoff field. Still doesn't make me feel good enough. Let's go to Norman in New Hampshire. Hello, Norman.
Oh, hey. Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, Norman. Nice to talk to you, too.
Yeah, listen, I agree with 98% of the things you're saying this afternoon, and I generally don't call these shows, but when you said the Michael Strahan thing, I said, oh, I got to tell this guy thank you. For years, I said, what is this guy doing all over TV?
It's unbelievable, Norman. I mean, and listen, to his credit, like, I don't hate, it's just, why, of all people, to be a guy that is just, I don't get it. Someone in somebody high up in ABC decided that Michael Strahan was going to be this deity after his playing career was over. I just don't get it.
That's the way it looks, right? I mean,
right.
You and I've said the same thing to my son. I said, he must have known somebody that just anointed him.
Yeah.
and maybe the missing teeth is the brand and that.
That's it. That's it. You know, and listen, he's got a, I'm not ragging him for this, but he's
on the field.
Well, yeah, he's got a little bit of a lisp as well. I'm not saying that.
No, I know.
Lou Holtz made a living with a lisp with ESPN for over a decade.
I mean, like the Kelly Show and whatever. I don't know what he's, I don't follow him, but on the Fox Show, do you like Howie Long or do you think he's kind of like run his course?
Well, I think he's run his course, but I think the fact that he was part of the original, him and Bradshaw have a great chemistry together.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Yeah.
They don't need Michael Strahan. I think what's-his-name's been great this year. They added him in there as Tony Gonzalez. I like Tony Gonzalez has been really good with them.
Yeah, I caught very little of him, but so I can't say. But
see, Tony Gonzalez is well spoken. He's just, you know, I don't get it. Michael Strahan made a deal with the devil, Norman.
Yeah, and another guy I think that is similar to him is Nate Burleson. He's getting all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's so great. It's the same thing.
Well, here's the thing about Nate Burleson. It's like, dude, you were number three receiver.
Yeah. And he's on two networks.
Right.
And it's what in the world?
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. Listen, on Belichick, I mean, on a scale of A to F as a if he was in school as a talent evaluator, what would you give him?
Defensively, with Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins and those guys, I give him an A. Offensively, and I don't give him credit on Edelman. He drafted Edelman as a quarterback. He didn't know he'd be a great receiver. So happened. That just happened. I give him about a D minus or an F as offensive talent.
Right.
Skill position players only.
Around a C overall.
A C overall. Now Jimmy Garoppolo was a home run. That was a home run.
He
but
did good there.
Ryan Mallett, nah, not so much. Jacoby Brissett, all right, meh. I can't. I just can't with Belichick. I tell you right now, me, Mark with a C, James, Drew Johnson, my esteemed producer, we could draft better offensive weapon players for the Patriots than Bill Belichick.
I'm more of a defensive drafter.
Okay. You could still do better offensively than Belichick did. I every one of you on hold right now would be a better evaluator of talent for weapons for Tom Brady than Bill Belichick. Hey, the numbers don't lie, man. Chad Jackson, Malcolm Mitchell, I mean, Taylor Price, Aaron Dobson. Come on. It's been bad. Kemble Tompkins, oh, come on. I don't get it. Bill in Exeter. Hey, thanks, Bill, for holding.
Hey, thanks for giving my call.
Yeah, sure.
I know Belichick's done great things, 5 Super Bowls. You can't really argue with that. And I know if there's guys in the draft that do fly under the radar, I'd be Tyreek Hill, and there's just a plethora of guys that just you couldn't imagine they would be that good. But in the 2013 draft, he takes Aaron Dobson in the second round, and then 17 picks later, the Chargers take Keenan Allen.
Yeah, bingo. I mean,
you got to have
an
eye for that kind of thing.
Bill, and that's why, you know, you get paid to do it. You can't mess up like that. I'm not saying that you're going to hit on every one of them. But how about this? And I'll take that, and I'll raise you to 2017. Just 2 years ago, he took Antonio Garcia in the third round, one pick before the Chiefs took Kareem Hunt. And listen, I'm not talking about what happened with Kareem Hunt recently, and he's suspended for. I'm talking about the guy the Chiefs had up until a month ago. Could you imagine Kareem Hunt in this offense with New England?
I mean, it's obviously Kareem Hunt was talented, and no one knew this was going to happen. But
right, you didn't know it was going to happen. So the Patriots took a chance on Josh Gordon, knowing his track record, and look how what happened. It burned him in the end.
They had a pick right before the round before Alvin Kamara when they didn't take him either.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. The Saints, Alvin Kamara, Kamara, and then you look at Michael Thomas. They're doing the things necessary. Drew Brees looks like he's dipped into the fountain of youth. You know,
I think at some point they're just going to have to bite the bullet and pay somebody that would be an offensive weapon to put around Brady.
Right. And here's the thing, too, Bill. And we talk about surrounding Brady with weapons. Well, pretty soon you're going to have to replace Tom Brady. That day's coming.
Lamar Jackson was there.
He was there. Now, I don't think Lamar Jackson was right for New England. I don't know. I don't think that was a. I don't know if that was a Josh McDaniels type quarterback. McDaniels loved Baker Mayfield. He wanted him bad. And you can see why. You can totally see why a guy's going to be the rookie of the year. So I don't have a problem with that. That one, but you took a running back ahead of Lamar Jackson? A running back. A running back who, and I'll go back to recent drafts, non-first round running backs. And if this doesn't, this is why running backs don't get paid. 2017 non-first round running backs: Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, James Conner, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, Aaron Jones. All better than Phony Michelle. 2018 non-first round running backs: Nick Chubb was in the same backfield with Phony Michelle and is better than him. Cleveland Browns got him in the second round. Kerryon Johnson, Darius Geis, who was going to have a hell of a year until he got hurt before the season began, and Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay, the only undrafted running back in NFL history to make, the only actually undrafted offensive player in NFL history to make a Pro Bowl in his rookie year. Philip Lindsay. No, but we took a running back. Yep. Took Phony Michelle. Well, Phony ain't going to the Pro Bowl. Philip Lindsay is. So there's that. Undrafted out of Colorado. Yep. No problem. That's what you do. Elway gets it. Elway understands, and that, you know what? This is what we're going to do. You don't take a running back unless his name is Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, or Saquon Barkley in the first round at all. Those are the exceptions to the rule. And yes, Michelle, he's had an all right season. Under 1,000 yards in so many games. Fine. I want to see him next weekend on 3rd-and-2 and 3rd-and-4 to be able to pick up the first down. Because that's what I want to see. He didn't last weekend against the Jets. I want to see him be able to pick up the tough yards on 3rd-and-2 and 3rd-and-4. He's able to part the Red Sea when those holes are huge and you know, go for 38 yards at a clip. But I want to see it's the tough yardage on 3rd and short. He has not been able to do that this season. 617-779-7937. I'll stick with all your phone calls next right here with Mark James.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
To get in, that is the number. How do you feel about the Patriots going into the playoffs? Your confidence level, 1 to 10, 10 being the most. Why? I got to tell you, I there's only been one realistic caller, and he said 7.5. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. It's like people always say over 9. I'm like, are you watching the same? This is their first 5-loss season since 2009. You've seen it. I mean, it's like, wow. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Bob in Maine. Thanks for holding, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I just think you're oversimplifying, and I think really the problem that the Patriots face is going to do their old, slow, non-athletic defense. The same thing that allowed the Dolphins to run that play at the end of the game.
Well, they have to have Devin McCourty on the field this time and not on the sidelines watching.
Okay, well then how many yards would they have went if Gronk tackled him at the 8? It still would have been a ridiculous play. It
yeah.
still exposed their defense.
I know. And that's the thing, too. That's why I don't – I can tell, Bob, you're somewhat of a realist and you know, rather than – so when you talk about that and what's been their Achilles heel all season, especially that game against the Titans, they were just – they were worked over that game. I've never seen them look so vulnerable. What's your confidence level going in the playoffs?
About a 6.
Right.
Because everybody seemed to get this enthusiasm because they stopped the Jets from running, and the Jets were the 30th. And rushing defense in the league.
Right, right. Or they ran the ball against Buffalo for 116 yards with Phony Michelle, and Buffalo gives up 116 yards a game on the ground. So you can't judge anything by the AFC least division. And I'll tell you, man, the Patriots, yes, they're able to turn it on in the playoffs, but Bob, you got to wonder, if the Patriots were in the AFC North Division, and let's say they threw out Cincinnati, and it was New England, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, who's now the Cleveland that's now in Baltimore. How many Super Bowl titles, how many division titles do you think the Patriots would have won since 2001 if they were in that division without the Bengals. Or look, you could put the Bengals in there and take out the Browns. Say it was Cincinnati, because Cincinnati was actually good at one point with Carson Palmer and Ocho Cinco, and they were good a couple years ago. They weren't so bad. But you put the Patriots in that division, I'll tell you right now, they're not winning the division 16 out of 18 years like they've done in the AFC least.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. The Patriots have been benefactors of being in such a garbage division with lack of competition. They have been. 617-779-7937. Wayne in Southie, you're up next. What's up, Wayne?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, how are you?
Mark with the C.
Good to talk to you, Wayne.
You sound a little pessimistic. Let me put a little optimism into you, all right?
Yes, please.
All right. What is Brady's record at home since he began his career? At home in the playoffs. Do you know what it is?
I believe he only... Well, I can tell you the losses.
29-1. 29-1. He had one loss, and that was to the Jets in 2011.
Okay, well, you're wrong, because he lost to the Ravens in 2009 and 2012, so it'd be 29-3.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. I would bet yes. He lost to Baltimore.
Yeah, say 29-1 on his thing.
No, it would. He's got three home losses. Those are it that I can think of in the playoffs at home. Those are right. Yeah, they were in Foxborough, both of them, 2009 and 2009. Ray Rice ran all over him. Brady threw three picks in the first quarter. 2012, Flacco was phenomenal, and they beat him here. It was Ray Lewis. Remember all the billboards around Foxborough? Ray's last ride, and then Ray Lewis came in here and knocked him off. So, but he's got three losses in 19 years at home, which is remarkable.
All right. Well, how about this? What the Patriots are doing with that three-headed running back, you're telling me you don't like that. You call him Phony Michelle, but the kid is, he's a rookie, and the kid's starting to show a little bit of, of a shine. I like Sony. I like him. I think with a little bit more time, the kid's going to be a good running back. He's probably one of the best running backs we have drafted in the last 10 years with Steve and Jack and all these other clowns that we used to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's that. They didn't draft Steven Jackson. If they had, that would have been a really good draft because he was great when he was with the Rams. Not so much
they took him.
They took him. Right, exactly. Corey Dillon ended up being good. It wasn't a draft. Again, it was drafted by Cincinnati, but they ended up acquiring him, and he led them to a Super Bowl.
Awesome.
He was great here. He was great here. He did what needed to be done. Running backs, I have no problem with getting from other teams. I just want to know, Wayne, did Belichick make a deal with the devil and say the devil said you're going to be the greatest coach in NFL history, but you're never going to draft an elite receiver? And because it seems that way. The last receiver they drafted that was great was Deion Branch.
Well, horrible, horrible. All the guys that they, Julian Edelman has been their greatest, you know what I mean?
But he wasn't even a receiver. They lucked into that.
He was a quarterback at Kent State.
Right, right.
But what Belichick told him was good. He told him, you're never going to be a quarterback here, so we're going to turn you into a wide receiver. But I'll promise you, you could be one of the best wide receivers ever, and the kid is now. You know what I mean?
Right. And by the way, Wayne, I'll say this too, and nobody was a bigger critic of Tim Tebow than me. I thought Tim Tebow was the biggest fraud at quarterback in NFL history. That's why there's a part of me for these teams that are looking at Josh McDaniels, like Green Bay and Cleveland, that Josh McDaniels wanted to trade back up into the first round for Denver to take Tim Tebow. Never forget that. Never forget that. And the thing that got me the most about Tebow, he could have stayed in the NFL as an H-back or a tight end. Could have had a nice career, like you mentioned, Julian Edelman, like Buffalo's doing with a former quarterback at Virginia Tech, Logan Thomas, like Washington and other teams have done with Terrell Pryor. Tim Tebow let his pride get in the way, and he could have stayed in the league as a tight end. Instead, he was too proud to come to the realization that he will never be a quarterback in the NFL. And he might have been able to stay in the NFL, but he's like, no, I'm going to be a quarterback or nothing. Well, it's nothing then. It's nothing. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls, and also, the window is closing, folks. That window is closing here in New England. Could this be the last farewell tour for the Patriots with Brady and Gronk as we've grown accustomed to over the last decade. Is this it? Could this be it for Edelman as well? The window is closing here in New England.